Have you ever been surprised before? Surprised by God? I really like the way Pastor Mark illustrated that to our children this morning, because sometimes God comes through and surprises us. Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 24. We read this story. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it empty, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said and all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on, as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Let us pray. God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've lived in upstate New York for over 11 years, and people ask me all the time, "Isn't it hard living up there in Syracuse in the winter?" I often replied, "There are two seasons in Syracuse, winter and the 4th of July, and I love them both." If you were in Syracuse this past week, even though it's April and had 60-degree days, you know it snowed a measurable amount several times. The calendar says spring, but in Syracuse, it always feels like the transition between winter and summer is always very muddy and wet and cold. This makes for a challenging transition between seasons. Growing up in the Washington, D.C. area, the cherry blossoms always signaled spring was here and longer, warmer days were already here. The transitions from winter into spring in D.C. are marked with flowering trees, long walks in the sun, and politicians arguing in seersucker suits instead of drab black ones. In life, we do not always have visual cues for transitions. Very few of us are afforded flashing signals, bright signs, or airports announcements that say, "Get ready, big change is on the horizon." Transitional times, like we're experiencing during the coronavirus pandemic and crisis, are never marked with clear delineations. Transitions and crises are often bumpy, fraught with mistakes, and require high amounts of energy. You may be wondering why you are feeling so exhausted at the end of each day, even though maybe you didn't physically exert yourself. It is because transitions, by their very nature, require us to learn new things, do new things, and require different parts of our mind and soul. It is at a transitional moment we find two believers of Jesus walking on a road to a town named Emmaus. They are experiencing a crisis. They are coming to grips with the news that Jesus, who was teaching, healing, and preaching, was put to death. But now it was reported that the tomb was empty. And not only this, he was alive. Jesus stumbles into the scene, unknown, to ask Cleopas and his companion, "What things?" These two travelers must have been shocked in their grief. Who could live in Jerusalem and not hear about Jesus of Nazareth? It would be like going on a bike ride with my wife today at Green Lake State Park. The two of us talking about how our life has changed because of coronavirus, only for a stranger to walk by and say, "What coronavirus?" These two travelers are clearly struck with grief. They say in verse 21, "We had hoped." As in, we had hoped Jesus would make everything in the world right. They had hoped Jesus would change everything all the better. They had hoped Jesus would lead God's people into greatness. Jesus, being the wise sage that he is, then begins to explain how the scriptures, from what we know as the Old Testament, pointed towards a suffering but redeemed Messiah who would redeem God's people. All the while, their eyes were kept from making the connection that this stranger and fellow traveler is, in fact, Jesus. Why were their eyes kept from understanding that this was Christ himself? Perhaps this is what befalls us all. In transition and crisis, we can't really see too clearly because we are so busy and our capacity is so consumed by all the new information, new skills, and responsibilities we take on. We're so preoccupied with new frameworks, new routines, and new ways of doing things, we can't process the very ocular data before us. This information presented a transitional moment for Cleopas and his friend. Now that this new information about Jesus is here, how do we live? Something has now changed, and life is not going to be business as usual. There's sadness, grief, fear, doubt, and things are not going to be as they had hoped. I remember at a very early age, my first experience into a transitional season, a moment where liminal space caused grief, pain, and doubt. My first experience came when I was in first grade in Maryland in January 1986. Our elementary school principal, who was known for being a very stern disciplinarian, she just scared the daylights out of us kids, We're called into an unexpected assembly in our all-purpose room. Mrs. Smith, our principal, was a powerful and immovable figure in our school. You know, looking back, we didn't have bullies in my elementary school because the bullies were afraid of Mrs. Smith. And she scared the parents, too. I think I still have nightmares of Mrs. Smith yelling at me because I drew my sevens wrong. Sevens, she said, must have a dash through them or you'll fail the test. You don't want your sevens looking like ones. And to this day, I still write my sevens with a little dash through the middle. As hundreds of us kids were huddled together with our teachers, we saw some of the adults crying and some of the kids were crying too. This was a very distressing sight to see as a child. We didn't know what was going on around us. My principal, Mrs. Smith, in a very calm and controlled voice, explained to us kids that one of the teachers had died. I had never known any death up until this point in my life, and this was just days after the Challenger space shuttle had exploded. The crew, which included fellow Maryland school teacher Krista McAuliffe and University of Maryland PhD graduate Judith Resnick, had all perished. Years later, I would find out that some of the teachers in the room knew Krista and Judith. And now, a teacher at our school had died. And the teachers tried to hold back tears, but could not. There in that room, we as a school had just transitioned into a new model, a new way of living. And as a nation, we transitioned into grief, doubt, and questioning if we trusted our leaders and our ability for great aspirations after the Challenger tragedy. What would happen next? It is during times of national crisis, coronavirus or personal crisis, that we discover we don't know what's going to happen next. This is called liminal space. The word liminal comes from a Latin word, limens, which means threshold. Anthropologists describe space as that precarious place between statuses, between pregnancy and birth, between childhood and adulthood, between life and death. These transitions are filled with potential and uncertainty. They note we feel vulnerable and do not know what's ahead. There are labor pains. The dramatic changes we are experiencing make us uneasy and knock us off our feet. Physically, economically, and socially, all of us have lost something in this disruption. It is at a threshold, a liminal space, that Cleopas and his friend come into a new reality of what this news about the life of Jesus means. They had hoped Jesus was going to be the one to redeem God's people and lead God's people into greatness. That hope, now dashed, wasn't Jesus' mission, as they thought. Jesus' mission on earth was something very different. These two sojourners to Emmaus are learning. Jesus came to show the way to redemption for all people. Cleopas and his friend have entered into that liminal space. And what takes them further into this space was the urging that Jesus, masked and unknown to them at the time, to stay and eat with them. They welcomed him into their lives. There, as Jesus sat at the table, gave thanks, broke bread, gave it, shared it, did it dawn upon Cleopas and his companion that now they realize who this liminal traveler was. It was Jesus. All the journey, Jesus walking with them, caring for them, teaching them, loving them, all the way into their liminal space. In Hero Stories, author David Rico writes in his book, How to Be an Adult, a handbook on psychological and spiritual integration, the call to go on a journey takes the form of a loss, an error, a wound, an unexplainable longing, or sense of mission. When any of these happen to us, we are being summoned to make a transition, he writes. In the great hero stories of literature, art, folklore, and film, the main character in those stories, or hero of the story, is never alone into their mission or transition. Moses had Aaron, David had Jonathan, Frodo had Samwise Gamgee, Batman had Robin, Cleopas had this unknown friend, and Jesus. We must observe how Jesus, Cleopas, and this friend enter into this liminal space of uncertainty, of how the world, their world, was going to unfold. Not only were they together on a journey to Emmaus, but together on the journey of liminal life. I've learned in life there are times we journey into new changes of the seasons of life. We transition from the summer of life into the winter of life through the liminal. As Cleopas discovered, we all need someone to guide us through that liminal time and space. We need companions on the journey, a friend, a pastor, a Stephen minister, or maybe someone who we least expect. We cannot and should not journey through transitional liminal spaces and times by ourselves. Notice that in this journey to Emmaus story, it is God in the form of Jesus who unexpectedly shows up to reveal true stability in the face of liminal space. That God made us to be in relationship with God and one another. We are not meant to face such liminal times by ourselves. And we don't. We are not alone. But in order to have a companion, you have to let them in to your life. Like Cleopas, we must welcome those who are around us to shepherd us while we're on that uncertainty in journey to Emmaus. We must not put the walls of fear and insecurity or thoughts of what will they think of me if I let them in. For Cleopas, let Jesus in, with all of Cleopas's doubts and fears and insecurities, Jesus was welcomed into his life. I learned during the liminal time in my elementary school all-purpose room that day, the companion that helped me many years ago through my first liminal transition was an unlikely companion. For many years, this person was kept from my eyes, but as an adult, I see now how this person led me. My companion was that mean old elementary school principal, Mrs. Smith. Among the cries and confusion, learning of death of a teacher in our school, Mrs. Smith stood there as a tall, proud woman, looked all of us in the eye, and said this, "I know this has happened. It is sad. We are sad. It is a tragedy. But I love you. We love you. We care about you. You are safe here. And I work every day to make sure you are safe here." There, for me and my classmates, the first experience of dizzying and disorienting liminality, Mrs. Smith was our companion. She was the hero in our story. She let me and my classmates know that it was okay to be sad. She let me know what happened and that I wasn't alone. But she let me know that I was safe. As you enter into this new liminal season of life, don't go at it alone. Instead, go and discover your companion, or Emmaus journey. Go and find that person who embodies Christ's presence. It may be a friend, one of our pastors or Stephen ministers, a family member, someone who walks with you. It might be someone who surprises you, someone who can, through word or deed, like Jesus, be beside you to say to you what was said to me 34 years ago. This. I know this has happened. It is sad. We are sad. It is a tragedy. But I love you. I care about you. You are safe here. Let us pray. Lord, we know that as we go through life's challenges, we are not alone. So help us this week reach out to those who love us and who are around us, in our church family, in our family of origin or creation, to seek out those who can walk beside us. God, we confess it is difficult to go through transitional seasons of life, liminal times. Help us break down the walls of separation, walls of fear, walls of doubt, that we can allow those special people in our life in to help be the hero in our journey. God, may you meet us on our road of life, walking with us, supporting us. And God, we pray for your guidance and the guidance of others in all that we do and all that we say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.